Welcome to Loud and Proud podcast with Vera, Boo, and Rocky. This is Vera. I play in the bands Nobody's Daughter and Blemish, and I also have a radio show here at KSBC.
I'm Boo. I am a events and outreach director here at KSPC 88.7 Claremont, and I am also a drummer and a bassist.
Hey y'all, I'm Rocky. I'm a production director here at KSPC Claremont, and I'm also a bassist and vocalist in the band Crime Horse.
We can move on to the band introducing themselves.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'm Marta. I'm in the band called Quinn the Brain, and this is...
I'm Clint. I'm also in Quinn the Brain. I play bass.
All right, sick. So I guess we could just start off maybe talking a little bit about the history of the band. Like, how did you guys connect? When did Quinn the Brain start? Like, what was the idea?
Yeah, we started a while ago. I basically, wanted to hear music that I wanted to hear, and I wasn't seeing it in the mainstream or even in the scene. So I just decided that I was going to try to do the things I wanted to hear. So it kind of started off on that note. And then I kind of just built it up over the years.
What year was that when you started the band?
That's hard because we've gone through a lot. So I would say the band had its full, like, its actual start in, we got together in 2016.
Okay.
But we didn't like play any shows until the end of 2017. So it's been kind of like a slow burn for a while.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I saw them playing. I wasn't in the band, but I saw them playing and I was like, man, I really want to be in that band. And then a year after that, I was in the band. So it was like really, really cool little coinky dink.
You know how it goes. You lose a member and then people like tell you things and then you kind of remember it. That's kind of how that happened. I just remember Clint coming up to us after a show.
Yeah, I was definitely like, hey guys, love it. If y'all ever need a bass player, let me know.
That's sick. Yeah. That's a great way to get to know people. I feel like that's how a lot of bands formed. So do you have anyone else like playing drums for you right now? Like, I know that you're in the process of recording. So
we lost our like actual drummer a few months ago, and we've been playing with like fill-ins and just friends who are coming in and out. So our next recording set of recordings, or EP, whatever, is gonna have a bunch of different people on it.
Like, that's really fun though. Yeah,
almost like compilation style. Almost, it'll be me and Clint throughout the whole thing, but now it's like we'll have two or three drummers on there, which is fine. It doesn't change. Like, we were worried it might change a lot of the sound, but the thing is like these songs were already kind of like written and recorded. It changes like a little bit, but not enough for you to be like, oh, like, you know, there goes that band, I don't like them anymore. You know, every drummer has their own style, so we've been really lucky to keep it going despite that. So that's something we're just working on.
I
think you keep it pretty fresh, working with people who are not only really great musicians, but, you know, our friends as well. So it's kind of a collective effort, I think, right now, which is going to add some, like, dynamics, I think, to the next EP that we put out.
Very cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you guys already put out an EP in 2020, right? That was Open Wide. And then you have another single that's been out. So connecting to that, could you kind of talk a little bit about your songwriting process, maybe like how it's changed since those songs, where you're kind of going creatively in terms of writing?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of those songs were in the beginning phases of the band, you know. It took us a while to put them out, but I'm glad we did it the way we did them, because they definitely got, it came out the way that it should have, you know what I mean? So I think we've grown as musicians since not only that EP, but even the new one we're about to drop. They're songs we've played live for a while. So it's kind of like what I consider the old era. I feel like we're embarking on something new, and it's more exciting for us, but also we've grown a lot. So I feel like we're going to be, it'll be changing up a little bit, but the true Quinn the Brain sound will still be there. We're just growing up.
Evolving.
Yeah, evolving. That's
better. No, I love that first EP. But whatever like y'all want to do. I'm just very excited about it.
Yeah, so, no, thank you. Yeah. No, I really like that. Bad Friend, the one, the single that just came out, that one will be the next one.
Because
I was like, we got to have it out somewhere. We can't just like have it in singles land, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, that's what I've been calling it. I was like, I don't know, comp style. So I'm excited. We'll see how it goes.
There is definitely a limbo for when you just release singles that I've also experienced. Like I learned working here at KSBC that we really only program,
we don't buy singles.
We don't buy singles.
It's not great.
EPs and LPs. So it's, I don't know, it's important to like reach the stage of the EP. So, you know, just sort of thinking about like the Houston music scene, that's how I got to know y'all through playing together. And I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about that, especially because we're like an LA County radio station, so it's a little technically we're on the very edge, can barely call ourselves that, but it's a little bit different. So if you could talk about Houston.
It still counts. It's kind of like Houston, where we are like Sugar Land, you're part of us,
right?
Woodlands, you're part of us, Galveston, fuck, you're in us too, like but like the music scene here is cool, you know. It's the nice thing is that Houston's so diverse, so is the scenes. Like if you, whatever music you like, you're gonna find it somewhere. Now it might not be very big, but it'll exist to some degree. So the thing I liked is that, you know, throughout the years, we've just stumbled upon cool acts stuff. I mean, honestly, half the time, the stuff we find is just by going to a show or going to something or going seeing, not even shows we're playing, just shows we're going to. Clint, do you have anything to say about the scene?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, kind of picking up on what you're saying about it being really diverse. Everybody's at the show. You know what I mean? It's not just metalheads or like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a scene, but it's very inclusive. And I think that is something in other cities I've noticed. I mean, they're all great, you know, and they're all different, but in Houston, it's really special because everyone's at their show. You could take your mom to the show. You
know what I mean? Like,
that's true. You're probably talking about like the fact that the genres are kind of, depending on what genre you're in, they're so small that people in different genres will come into that genre show because there's, even though there are choices, they're not like that many. I don't know if I'm saying this correct.
That makes perfect sense. Like my, a buddy of mine, you know, who might be in, hypothetically, who might be in like the hip hop scene is still going to come support the rock scene. And we're still going to be going to those shows. You know what I mean? And it'll be right next door to a place that's, you know, playing a completely different genre, and we'll go over there too. It's just, I think inclusive is the best word, diverse and inclusive. And I've seen a little bit of that, like I said, in other cities with great scenes, but it's not like in Houston, it's just better.
Do you feel like that inclusivity or even like the diversity of folks who are coming to these different shows and sort of like surpassing genre is also impacting like your sound? Do you feel like that has any sort of pull on like what you feel like you want to pursue? Like, are you ever at a show that's like maybe something you never thought you wanted to include in your sound, and all of a sudden you're like really surprised and really excited to experiment?
So I feel like, and I'm not sure if I'm completely answering your question, but I feel like because of the scene, we fall into the cracks because we're not punk enough for this. We're not hard enough for that. We're not pop enough for that. So we're always on bills that we're just like random. Okay, cool. Whatever. Like, let's do this because it's diverse. And I actually like it because it's not boring. You know, I don't want to go to a punk show where every band is playing three chords and it's just like bores you to tears. So in that respect, if I am answering a question, like, I feel like we fall into the cracks of a lot of that. So we've had people come up to us and be like, wow, you're so metal. And then we'll have other people come up and go, wow, you remind me of like Alanis Morissette, which I always think is really weird. Like I've heard a lot of weird stuff, but I think it depends on the person and the scene. I don't know.
I mean, also like growing up here, you know, that diversity, and it becomes part of our vibe as people naturally is going to.
That's true.
Come through in the music, the genres aren't segregated, really. You know, people.
That's true.
We all come out.
They all bleed into each other.
We all come out to all the shows. And it's really quite beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I guess also another Houston question is obviously there's a lot of political upheaval right now in Texas, and that's always going to impact art. I guess I was sort of wondering, has it, in what ways? Because the political situation in Texas, like, impacted your work and your songwriting.
It's kind of impossible for it to not. I mean,
it can that's get true. Kind of, yeah. Because, I mean, we mainly write from, like, our personal experiences. At least that's how I've always done it. So if I'm upset about something, it usually ends up in song form. And I might not come out and say, this is what it's about. But you're right. They are ingrained. So we'll probably be seeing a little bit more of that in disguise. You know what I mean? Mm. Never really come out and say anything, to be honest.
Yeah, we're definitely not a political band. Mm-hmm. We're much more looking inward.
Right.
I think. Yeah. Looking outward, but it's impossible for it to not affect us as people.
You and know? there's no right and wrong, you know.
Right,
like
right.
We love bands that are political, and we love bands that are not. It's kind of like a personal choice,
right?
For sure,
absolutely.
But yeah, for 100%, it does impact us in some way, one way or another.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously it comes through. but as far as subject matter at this point, I think so.
Yeah,
well, that's legit. Like the political can definitely impact the personal.
One is reflective of the other, if you're
sure. So you guys did go on tour a couple years back, if I remember correctly. Could you talk about, like, maybe that experience or playing outside of Houston, like how that was different?
Yeah. We did a 2.5-week tour with Cosmic Kitten. Mm-hmm. I think it was in 2021. So, and that was super fun. We got to get out of Houston for the first time. I mean, outside of Texas, let's put it like that.
Yeah.
We got outside Texas for the first time, and we hit the West Coast, and we went all the way up to like Northwest and then came back. It was a weird,
like Seattle.
We were all over the place. Yeah. It was actually kind of brutal. Like each show there would be like 10 to 15 hour drives, and then we'd have a show back to back to back. Mm. So we were in that car sniffing each other for way too long. Like, it was really fun, but we learned a lot of things about each other. You don't want to learn about each other.
Yeah.
I saw things I never want to see. You know, I feel somewhat scarred on some level, on like a funny way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a way, like, but it was a good experience, you know. I had a really good time. We had a good time with Cosmic. They were really nice to us. They asked us on their tour, so that was really sweet of them. And that was essentially it. I don't know. We are hoping to do that again soon, you know, on our own. So TBA.
That will be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have like a particular favorite venue, favorite spot y'all were at, even just like a favorite? I know Rocky and I, we did a little road trip recently with just some really weird, you know, stops on the side of the road. Do you have any of those? Any
weird, you know, anecdotes?
Yeah.
In San Francisco was pretty.
That was cool. Yeah, we played San Francisco, and the weird anecdote like that. Yeah, because we did a festival recently in San Francisco, and that was really fun. We just came in and we just relaxed and hung out. And but the thing that really stands out to me when you say weird things was Idaho. Mm-hmm. Boise, Idaho has an insane scene that you would have never expected.
Yeah.
There's a ton of kids who are just into it. And it was the first time I played a show, and there was like two rows of girls. Only. Mm.
Oh, wow.
And I never see that. It's usually a bunch of dudes. And that was the first time I looked down and I was like, wow, it's a lot of girls.
Yeah.
And that was cool. So that's what really stuck out to me. But San Francisco was super fun too. That was the most recent one I think we did outside of Texas.
Yeah, it's dope.
So connecting to that, I guess this goes back to the genre issue. But I don't know. I've always seen you guys because, you know, you love Babes in Toyland. I saw that you like wrote a blurb for the book that just came out about Babes in Toyland and like their impact. So I've always sort of associated you with that really femme, like grunge, like Riot Girl adjacent movement from the 90s, that you're sort of part of that legacy. But then you're also involved in, you know, as you said, bills that involve metal shows or, I don't know, more like macho bands. So like, how do you see yourself fitting into that?
Yeah. You know, I never really came at any of this with a genre or an idea in mind. Mm. Like the music I've written and we've written over time has just been reflective of what we listen to, right? Mm. Things that we really like. And so I am heavily inspired by Babes in Toyland because it's one of my favorite bands. But I'm never trying to be them from that genre. So in Houston, there is no, like, I don't know of any other bands besides Nobody's Daughter, which when I saw that name, I remember being like, that's a whole album. Like, they must like it. I remember like knowing right away, and I was, yeah, is that intentional?
Yeah.
And then like, anyways, there's not that many bands who are in that, what do you want to call it? The scene, the, yeah, you know, Riot Girl or grunge women or women, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Whatever, yeah, you want to call it. There's not that many. I feel like if that is a genre, or if we're going to make it one, we are the only one, and maybe Nobody's Daughter that I know of in town. So that, therefore, we are forced into other scenes.
Right.
Because we don't fit into anything. So we usually get pushed into a lot of hard rock stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heavy.
Like, I know we're, yeah, because, yeah, usually like the bands that I think we would fit in with, they're always like, oh, your tone is so big and so good. Like,
yeah.
And they're playing like small Fenders that are super clean. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, musically, it makes sense. But I guess, yeah, like, if you're looking at equipment, then no, we're a lot heavier. Yeah. But
true.
I don't know. Honestly, I never think about it. I only started calling us genres because people kept asking.
Right.
So I just started like hyphenating. I was like, grunge, punk, dark all. I don't know. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just words.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are going to make up their mind about you one way or another. That's anyway. True. I literally had someone at our last show tell me we sounded like the Runaways.
Oh, wow. Which
I love the Runaways, yeah, but I was like, I don't see it. Like, right. I love that you see it, but I don't see it. But I'm not going to say that. So it was cool. Thanks. Right. Honestly, at this point, if I like the band, or honestly, if you care enough to even say anything, I'm cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it all. It's fine. Yeah.
It's kind of the approach you have to take shows, yeah, I think. And actually, our next question was sort of connected to that, which is, what are you guys listening to right now? What are you into?
It's a great question. I feel like I've been really bored. I have. I'm so bored musically because I've already like listened to the stuff I've always listened to, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I've been trying to get into like new stuff. I don't know. Clint?
Well, we just recently kind of bonded a little bit over the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack.
Okay, interesting.
That's right. That's,
it's true. Killer. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah. No, we were just talking about that like the other day because we didn't know we both liked the movie, yeah, or the soundtrack.
We took a little like trip to see Bikini Kill.
Oh, sick.
Oh.
And on the way back, it came up in Arda's shuffle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, Josie and the Pussycats, like, all right, it's,
oh, it, yeah, yeah,
but you had the whole record, and that was something that I don't know, I remember and really enjoyed that record, so that's a thing.
So we throw back a lot to older stuff, and then we'll listen to a lot of newer stuff too. Mm. So we do listen to like new and upcoming bands or artists. I've honestly like even branched out to rap at this point because that's how bored I am. I was like, and I don't like that much music in that genre, but right, I can cherry pick a few. I'm like, okay, you're kind of cool, but it all comes back because then you're just like, oh, that's a cool beat, which kind of reminds me of this hip-hop song or this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all connected, everybody, right, whether doesn't matter what genre you're in, you're kind of influencing each other. So we don't, yeah, really stick to our, I don't only listen to like grunge albums or heavy albums, right, which I think a lot of our fans assume,
right,
like, I feel like a lot of people just think that, like, we, those like are, pop too, and we, right, like all sorts of stuff.
I think those genres that you're mentioning are kind of like ingrained in us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
so when we listen to something just for pleasure, like, you know, we're kind of trying to branch out. Just the other day before practice, we had some dub reggae just kind of playing.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get the vibes right. So
that's true. We're doing the opposite. So we're already doing one thing. So we're like, listen to something, yeah, else that's not that thing.
Yeah.
So just a lot of that. So we're not, I guess we're just throwing a lot of random stuff at you guys.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to pin down one thing I'm listening to right now.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
That's so fine.
Yeah.
You're good enough. We're good enough.
Shuffle and just pour it.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular artists that, similar to like Babes in Toyland, like a really like personal connection, or perhaps like that memory, or, you know, those bands that got you into the scene, or those bands that really introduced you to what music could mean to you? Do you have any of those artists?
Are you asking for like newer stuff or older bands?
Like,
or
older, like, stuff, like maybe stuff you grew up listening to, or
been like important throughout your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I feel like, and I know me and Clint, we both are huge Sonic Youth fans. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like we always bond over that. That's something we always come back to. I remember listening to like the Pixies' Doolittle album at least like 5, 6, 7, 8 years, however long ago it was. And it like, I felt like it changed my life because there's a lot of few bands that I was listening to that kind of really opened up my eyes. Babes in Toyland was one of them. Pixies was one of them. Sonic Youth, Bikini Kill. Then they have like the smaller bands too, like Smut, they're cool. And then I really like Milk Money and like Cheesecake. And then I'm trying to think of anybody else. Honestly, there's just so many at this point. It's Huggy Bear, I guess. Like, it just depends. I mean, that scene was so like, I want to say small, but like, honestly, back in the day, I just literally looked up girl bands because I was, you know, I've been listening to music all my life for, you know, as long as I can remember. But like, there was a point where I was like, I just want to listen to women because I'm a woman and I want to relate. Like, I'm tired of listening to dude rock all the time. And so I just Googled it. And then I just kept, I went down like a Google rabbit hole. So like, it kind of ended, and then you end up like the Distillers, because that's like the next version or next step after like 90s, early 2000s. Female fronted. So
yeah,
I don't know if I answered your question, but
no, yeah, it does.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I think for me, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fugazi.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Like hardcore punk stuff in the 80s.
And what about then, the women's stuff?
Oh, so, Madonna, Kylie Minogue, Sonic Youth, of course. I think if we threw all that in a blender, that would pretty much be my inspiration.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix.
Then, Clint, did you play in like any other bands before Quinn the Brain?
I had a band with my childhood friends for like 15 years. I was the drummer. Body in the Whirls, and we did our thing. But you know, after playing drums for like ever, you know, I really wanted to play bass. I kind of jumped around to other little projects and stuff, but then I found kind of like a home here where I can really play and express myself musically. I've been bouncing around for a little while.
I feel like that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I grew up playing drums, and then like recently I was like trying to learn guitar, but I just wanted to like pluck at it the whole time. I was more interested in like things that were working like rhythmically.
Drummer,
I was like,
to bass player pipeline.
I was like, I was like, oh, I just want to play bass. And I got a bass, and I was like, this is the best thing ever.
It kind of translates, you know,
your
rhythms, and then you just put those rhythms to the strings and you kind of thump along like it's a drum.
It
makes sense.
I guess we haven't talked specifically about songwriting process. I know that's like often super different for like every song, but I don't know. I guess you could sort of talk about like maybe how the newer songs that you're going to release were written. Like, are you a music first or lyrics first type band, or is it different every time, or is it something else entirely?
Usually the way I write is I'll mess around on guitar. I'll come up with some kind of riff or something that I like, and I'll build maybe some lyrics over it. They could be throwaway lyrics. They could be real lyrics, just something. And then I'll bring it to the band, and then we'll jam on it. Then we'll write a little bit on it. The last song, we just rearranged a song that was already previously written, and then we just rewrote it. So it was, we just took the structure and we just were like, you know what, let's shake it up and make it more dynamic. And now it's way better than it used to be played live. Now I feel like I'm super excited about it, which is weird because it's one of the older songs. I guess back to your songwriting, I usually, the lyrics and the music are written around the same time. There is, I don't do lyrics last because I find that really intimidating. So like if all the music is written and then you're like, all right, lyrics, then I'm just like, I got nothing. But if I start it together and keep it going, it just makes it easier. The lyrics and the music accompany each other. So like, that's how the moods are set. And or that's how I've been doing it. But I'm actually really open to other forms of songwriting. So now me and Clint are starting to write more together. And now it's a little different, which I like, because there is no right and wrong. I'd like to honestly just keep changing it up, because the more things you do, the more different things you try, the more different results you'll get. You won't get stuck in that hole that a lot of bands fall into
with
same formula, right?
So
I don't think we have that problem just because we're all over the place.
That can be great.
I mean, in the best way possible, right?
Like,
Like, I'll literally like be like, oh, I wrote this riff like 2 years ago. Let's bring this out of nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. we're just sitting on a bunch of stuff. Like, we have a lot of material. And so finally this year, we put all the shows to the side and we're like, okay, let's hunker down. Yeah. And like, let's get new stuff out and really, you know, show. I mean, to people in Houston, they know who we are. But if you like us from afar, then you only know what's out and there's not that much out.
Right.
So now we're
right.
trying to get the rest of our fan base to catch up to right. where we are.
Yeah. Right. Now, I feel like a similar thing sort of happened in Nobody's Daughter. There was such a long turnaround from like writing to teaching everybody in the band the song / like having everyone write their parts to being able to perform it to recording it. So for us, it took 2 years. Like some of the songs that we recorded summer 2021 were from like 2019. And by then it was like, we're writing totally different stuff now. So I can totally see how like that delay can make things difficult. So taking some time off from the shows and from like trying to do the publicity and this and that and like the social media grind that we're all kind of forced into to yeah. write can be like a great thing. Because, yeah, the social media is killer. Like, I feel like at this point you have to be your own publicist.
Multimedia and, artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your yeah. own video.
Well, they want you to do everything. Now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you're a PR person, you're a marketing person, mm-hmm. you're a promoter. You do everything. And if you don't do everything, I feel like you're either paying someone to do it mm-hmm. or you lucked out and something has worked out in your favor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, most average bands are doing everything themselves and it's overwhelming.
Like, yes. The price problem. You pay for being an independent band.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's part of the reason we get slowed down sometimes.
Right.
Like
right.
now I feel like we're very, we're all taking turns and we're just pulling the band up together.
We found a rhythm.
There yeah, we go. That's great. That's great.
Our rhythm has been put into sync finally. And I feel like we're now starting to
yeah, we're
hit the
to,
next level, I
yeah,
guess.
We're able to multitask, I think.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
You're
like
not overly concerned. About the social media stuff, of course, it's important. Mm. It's not overshadowing, like it's not taking up time away
yeah.
from
yeah.
the process.
Yeah, I feel like the hard part is knowing that you're a band or a musician and not a content creator,
yeah.
which is where the trap is.
Yeah,
because everyone's like, oh, I have to put something out to make sure they know I'm alive. But at the same time, you're just like, but I really want to work on band stuff. It's just, you gotta, yeah. There's a sweet spot for everybody and everybody has to find it. Right.
Right.
So I feel like we finally found it. So now all of our stuff is, you know, we don't spend too much time. We're just kind of like, okay, we're working on something. Let's take a quick video and throw it up there.
Let's let everyone know what's up and then get back to work.
Right.
Pretty much.
Know what's up when we're done with it and then get back to work.
Yeah. For the most part, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff this year. There's a lot of stuff people don't see and I'm 100% okay with that.
Right.
We try to keep people along for the ride. Cause you know, social media. Like, I like how I could just say that and everybody knows.
Yeah.
You're basically, I mean, if you don't,
people assume you're done. I've seen so many bands that were, you know, they were writing an album or they were writing something and then they just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to step away to do something. Then that thing turned into a unwarranted hiatus and that hiatus turned to something else. And like, I'm always afraid that's going to happen to us. But I don't think it will. We're too like on top of it for that to happen, but that is a trap.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, it's one thing to step away, like for mental health reasons or something.
Yeah.
It's quite another to just fall off the update rhythm. So yeah, there's definitely got to strike a balance there.
That's true. Sometimes I just drop off for like a month.
You got to.
Because I'm just like, I've had enough. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, I just want to live my very seclusive life.
Yeah.
But honestly, I wouldn't even be on social media if it wasn't for the band.
Yeah.
I like barely posted my own personal pages. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I'm doing and I don't need other people to know where I'm at. Like, in fact, I don't want you to know.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to show up. Like,
Yeah.
It forces us to keep connected with people.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And posting and stuff, it kind of, I don't know, perpetuates like, you know, connection.
That's true. And you get to know your fans a lot more.
Yes.
So because of social media, like I feel very lucky because we got to not only find our people, but like we found people who like really like us and are into it. And most of them don't even live here.
Right.
But and I love that because I'm just like, cool. We found people who like the same stuff, read the same stuff, watch the same stuff. Pretty neat.
I remember that happened in Nobody's Daughter that we connected with this band from like England called Sorority Girls after the Mommy Long Legs song. And like when they started following us, they were tiny. And now in England, they're opening festivals.
Yeah.
And we've just sort of watched it from afar. That was like the coolest thing that came out of this.
Oh, no, yeah. I think, you know, in relation to the social media discussion, you know, there can be a really strange, you know, positive side of things, like we were saying, like that connection to the fans and this closeness. But I think it's also that what we talked about of how difficult and just grueling, like the constant fiending for like relevancy, because there's so much and people are fed so much every single day. And you have to be like, something has to be like special and new and like enough to grab somebody's attention for more than 10 seconds. And it's wild as a band to try and maintain that attention. And like, I don't know, having these discussions with folks in the industry who are like, yeah, you know, the album used to be the long form of content and the song was the short form. And now it's like whatever snippet you hear is the short form and the song is the long form content. Yeah. And
it's changing songwriting.
Yeah, like you're lucky if somebody is going to like listen to the whole thing. And that's such a strange phenomena, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amanda knows that because they're kind of on like the more promoter side of things, like with the station.
Yeah. I mean, I do events and stuff like that. And then I think everybody is forced to learn about the music industry.
Yes.
You know, you have your creativity and like the love for what you do. And then you're sort of, at least in my experience, I know some people do love the business aspect of things, but a lot of artists are just forced into that and forced into like the content creation or the, you know, the marketing and the media aspects of things, you know.
No, you're right. That's so true. Because when I first started the band, I just wanted to write music and play. And I do everything but that.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Like, I do everything else. And then if I'm lucky, I might have time to write. And
exactly.
That, to me, that's what we're trying to change, actually, because we talked about that a lot. I was like, we do a lot. We need to step away in certain areas and start focusing on the things that we always that matter us to us the most. And I feel like we're finally doing it. So.
Yeah,
that's great. That's really good to hear, because that's a constant struggle. I know it was a problem in Nobody's Daughter. It was, I don't know, just trying to get us together for shows, get us together for social media. And then it was, wow, I feel like we're all doing like five different jobs at the same time. And we only signed up to do one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what's expected. And it's kind of counterintuitive as like a creative, I think, if you're putting everything into something artistic, to then have to do all this other very not artistic stuff.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it, you gotta do it now, you know. So,
and it's like that or depend on like a major label
to
give you all the resources that you need. So I do kind of like things being more accessible, because I know for sure, like, at least Nobody's Daughter like never would have recorded if we were still in like major label like era of controlling.
Oh, yeah.
So it's way more accessible, but also you have to be your label. Like, by yourself.
I heard somebody call the current industry like much more democratized. I don't know if that's fully the case.
I definitely
think there's some of the things that we're probably going to be talking about on the podcast, of just these imbalances of power and still like hordes.
Well, you're
of
not
that,
wrong,
but, you know.
Yeah, it's, I would think it's more like you have more control than you ever did before, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you have complete control.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which I do like that part. I like the control of the narrative. I like presenting what we want people to see. I love that part. I just don't like the part where you actually have to do it. But you know what? But that's a trade-off. Like, because if you want someone, if you're, even if you pay someone, it's their version of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The marketing, especially for like women in music, has been so terrible over the years that it's like, at least we can control that part of it.
Yeah,
exactly. But, yeah. Now we can push our own narrative. And it's, I mean, people obviously care. I see all kinds of bands doing well, small, big, medium. At this game, I feel like it's random. Like, you know, what happens? It's kind of how much work you put into it, how persistent you are, how much talent you have. There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
So I feel like for the first time ever, everyone is more equal than they were before.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up, I guess, thank you so much for being our first guests on Loud and Proud. And I'm also just really happy to get to talk to you guys again because it's been a second. So, yeah, good luck with the recording and with whatever tour comes up in the future.
And absolutely. Really, we'll have to hit you guys up if we hit up California again.
Awesome. So. Yeah, definitely. No, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do. All right. Well, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.